salvation. Well, if that's never happened to you, then why don't you see yourself in that condition now and simply believe? Now, the basics. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. And if you're lost, it's probably not going to mean too much to you. But I want to get back and I just want to deal with some basics of right division. I want you to see the mystery. A lot of people don't even know what the mystery is. I guarantee you can go, I'm talking about preachers. Find your preacher and ask him what the mystery is. But before you do, learn what the mystery is. There are several mysteries in this Bible. And we are to be stewards of the mysteries, more than one. And they're not all the same. But I want to deal with the mystery of Ephesians chapter 3 today. Notice in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God." That word dispensation is the administration. It'd be like administering something. Like right now we are under the administration of whatever it is in Washington. That's their administration. Whatever they're ministering, golf or whatever, that's what we're under. And Paul said, "The dispensation or the administration, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, this administration, this dispensation was given to Paul for you. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Verse 6 is the mystery. You ought to write beside of it, the mystery. "That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by what? The gospel. Which the gospel is also another mystery that was revealed to the Apostle Paul. But we're not going to deal with the gospel today. I want to deal with that verse 6. "That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body." So the body's there. Of the same body. And notice he goes on, "and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." And that promise will be the promise of the Holy Spirit. Verse 9, jump down to verse 9. Let's go back under verse, verse 7. "Whereof I was made a minister of this dispensation now, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Whatever Paul's preaching about this mystery now, it's unsearchable. It wasn't wrote down in the Old Testament. It's not back there. It's unsearchable. You can't search it out. It was given to him by revelation. Verse 9, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid where? In God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, turn over with me and hang on to Ephesians, we're coming right back, but look in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, and by the way, the people at Colossians is just like the people of Ephesus that he's writing to. They're like you and me. They wasn't in the covenants of promise. They never blessed the seed of Abraham, as Kevin talked about. They never had certain dietary laws. They'd eat anything and didn't eat them first. I mean, they were just old Gentiles, like you and me. Notice what he said in verse 24. Now, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I'm made a minister according to the dispensation of God. Now that administration of God, we find out from Ephesians chapter 3, that is the dispensation of the grace of God. Alright, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, to bring it to completion. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Then Paul, dispensation, his administration, completes the Word of God, fulfills the Word of God for you. Romans through Philemon, if you please. It completes it. It fulfills it. It brings it to completeness. And it's the mystery. All about the mystery and the doctrine to that mystery. What is that mystery? That the Gentiles should be partakers, made of the same body. Well, let's go back and read it. Chapter 3. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Back in Colossians, even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. How is it made manifest? How do you reckon? How is this mystery made manifest? What did he bring to completion? Wouldn't it be the scriptures? Wouldn't it be what he wrote down? Could you find the mystery? Paul wrote Romans through Philemon. Could you find the mystery in Romans through Philemon? Can you find it back here in Matthew through John? Not back there, is it? How about the book of Acts? Huh? Well, how about Hebrews through Revelation? Genesis through Malachi? And we're not worried about the Apocrypha and all that garbage. 66 books. We call it the Old Testament. Jesus Christ dies, fulfills prophecy on that cross. Everything he does, he fulfills prophecy. He's buried. He's ascended up. And he's coming back over here some day in the future. Tribulation in here. 1,000-year reign in here. All prophecy. Prophecy, prophecy, fulfilled prophecy. Back here, prophecy. Over here, mystery. Now, take this out. Is your book complete? Huh? Can you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and not use the doctrine in Romans through Philemon and tell somebody how to get saved? Now come on, can you? There was a man that came up to Jesus Christ in Matthew 21 and said, "Good Master, what must I do to have eternal life?" That's a pretty good question, isn't it? What did the Lord Jesus Christ, according to prophecy and his day, what do you think he told him? Well, you should know what he told him. You know what he told him? He told him to keep the commandments. You know what Paul says about the commandments? He said, "You're dead to them." He said, "It is evident that no flesh shall be justified by the law." Those that keep the law are under the curse. Curses the other one that continues not in whatsoever the book of the law says to them. They're under a curse under the law. Jesus Christ was made a curse for you. Totally different mystery. It completes the Word of God for you. People say, "Well, you pen knife it. You cut up the Scriptures." I believe in following Jesus. Lord, have mercy over how many times have I heard that. Began to talk to me. "Well, you just follow Paul. I believe I'm going to follow Jesus." You realize you can't follow Jesus? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let's try something. Turn back. Just basics now. We're dealing with basics. Turn back here to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I want you to take Matthew chapter 5 and I want you to take Deuteronomy chapter 6 and compare something with me. Matthew chapter 5, Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus Christ said, in verse 19, he said, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach what? Isn't it the commandments? Shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Now verse 20. "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Well, what's the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees? Well, turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24, this is what was their righteousness. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes to fear the Lord God. Did I tell you chapter 6, verse 24? And to do all these statutes and to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it, the doing of these statutes, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as He hath commanded us. Then if they was to be righteous, they had to do the commandments, wouldn't it? Turn with me, hang on to Matthew now, look in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, ye shall all be righteous. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Was the righteousness back there without the law? In Deuteronomy 6, was it without the law? What was to be their righteousness? Keeping of the commandments, wasn't it not? Did Jesus Christ said, except your righteousness exceed? That's why He gave a new law in Matthew chapter 5. Look back, while I'm in Romans, look back there and He goes on. Even the righteousness without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that, what's that word? Believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned come short of the glory of God. Look in verse 26. To declare, say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Look in chapter 4, verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is counted for righteousness. You're righteous by faith in Jesus Christ without the deeds of the law. Had he ever kept the law or not? Most of you couldn't name them anyway. We think about the law being the Ten Commandments. Well, Galatians says it's the book of the law. The whole book of commandments. I think there's around 600 and some commandments back there that they're to keep. And if I had to keep them, I'd sure have known, wouldn't you? There's not many people in here that could stand up and tell me the Ten Commandments. You ask somebody to believe in keeping the law. Go ask the Seventh-day Adventists. If they believe, they can quote you by, I remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, and that's, they say that's Saturday, and they're right. Asked them to name the other nine. By the law is the knowledge of sin. But look back in Matthew. Verse 21, now he said, you've heard that it was said by them a long time, here's the law, thou shalt not kill. For whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say, here's the new law, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, racket, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thy fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. You believe that? That's what he said, isn't it? Turn over to 1 Corinthians. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, we're going back to Matthew. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look in verse 35. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come up? Thou what's that? Huh? Did Paul call somebody a fool? According to Matthew chapter 5, he's in danger of hell fire, is he not? Look in, go back to Matthew. I don't have time to keep Matthew. Look what he said. I tell you what, come over with me in verse chapter 6. We just sort of verse 13. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So that tells you got to forgive to be forgiven, right? Huh? What if you don't forgive somebody? Is God going to forgive you according to the verse? Turn with me and look in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. All I'm doing today is showing you some different doctrine, contradictions, if you please, when you don't rightly divide the word of truth. I'm showing you kingdom, prophecy, versus mystery. And if you can't see a difference, you need a C&I dog to get out of here. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, because you have forgiven others, God's going to forgive you. Why, according to the verse, did God forgive you? Let's read it. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Why did God forgive you of your sins? Was it because you forgave somebody else? No, he forgave it for Christ's sake. Why? Chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. And that's a sacrifice by fire, and it smelt good to God, and his son was your sacrifice, and God accepted his son as your sacrifice, and based upon what his son was on the cross, your sacrifice, he forgave you of all your trespasses. Well, you forgive anybody or anything or not? You hear people say, well, I don't like that person. I love the person, but I don't like their sin. You ever heard that? That's a religious bunk. You can't separate the person and what they do. But look on, that's sort of like somebody that talking about covetousness. They look at somebody's car or something, or how, boy, they're really coveted that car or their house or whatever, but they always shade it. So, well, I'm not wanting theirs. I want one like theirs. Look with me. Turn to Colossians. Oh, go back to chapter 1 before we go to Colossians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6-7. In whom? Christ. Because we've been accepted in the blood. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. How do we have forgiveness of sins? It's through His shed blood. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, notice what he says there. In Colossians chapter 1, now I'm just going to read in verse, I'm just going to jump in the passage. He said, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And it's for Christ's sake, not because you forgive somebody of their trespasses or you don't. But now, over here in the kingdom, what if you don't forgive over there? You get it, buddy. Look down in verse, back in Matthew chapter 19, Matthew 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. You got a bank account? Do thieves break into banks and get your money? Whether it's legal or not, or they collapse and they take it or whatever, it's uncertain even if you got it in a bank. Right? So, well, I'll take mine out and I'll stuff it and put it in a tin can. What about rust? Well, I'll put it in my mattress. What about moss? You see, the Lord's got your truck covered. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Are you to put your money in the banks and everything? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, notice in verse 14. Behold, a third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents should lay up, you could add, but the parents for the children. I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. And how true that is. But the verse in 14, for the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Jesus Christ said, lay not up treasures upon this earth. Why would He say such a thing? Because in the kingdom out here, they're to have all things common. They're not going to need anything. Look in Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, notice what he says. Luke chapter 12, verse 22. And he said, well, I'll tell you what. Now, verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what for the body, what ye shall put on. And everybody in here took thought before you got dressed, I think. You took thought for what you're going to eat. You're taking thought for what you're going to eat right now. I guarantee you that. Or where are you going to eat? Take no thought for what you shall eat, neither for your body what you shall put on. And the life is more than the meat, and the body is for the raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. Well, sowing and reaping would be working, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be toiling? Which neither have storehouses nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, yet say I unto you that Solomon all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye a little faith? He's telling them not to work, is he not? He's telling them don't work for you for it, don't worry about it, don't take no thought for it. God's going to feed you and he's going to clothe you. Right? Verse, come on down with me. Verse 29, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. Have faith. He's going to supply all that. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And boy, they go to town on that verse, and they begin to preach, and they begin to slobber that you're to seek the kingdom of God, and God's going to supply all your needs. Hallelujah. Glory to God, and he's going to pay all your debts. Oh, glory, and all that stuff. And just go to town with it. And never read the next verse. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the what? And what does verse 33 say? Sell all that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that fadeth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Why did he not want them to lay up treasure? Because their treasure was in the kingdom. And God will take care of you. He'll clothe you. He'll feed you. You seek that crowd. Don't work. You just stay out there and work for the Lord. And on the thing goes. Well, what about you today? And by the way, I heard a preacher, I was dealing with that, and he said, well, brother, I think I need to be willing to do that. Have a willing heart. And if they're a willing heart, then that's like they're doing it. You know, people fool with this book. God fools with their mind. Look in Acts chapter 2. Let's see what them boys, see if they thought it was literal or willing. In Acts chapter 2. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Well, there ain't none of us all in common. Some of you drive a better car than I do. I might drive a better car than you do. Some of you live in a bigger house than I live in. And I might live in a a bigger house than you. We ain't got all things common. Some of you got more money than I got. I believe we ought to get common in here, don't you? Look what he said. He said, and all that believe were together and had all things common. And verse 45, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Look over in chapter 3. In chapter 3, folks. I tell you what, I don't have time to read it all. Come over to chapter 4 and I'll just read this verse because I wanted to get to it anyway. In chapter 4, notice in verse 33, and great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses, what'd they do with them? Sold them. And bought the price of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. Distribution was made unto every man according as he hath need. Verse 37, these people in verse 36. Verse 37, having land, sold it and bought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Folks, they sold out. They sold everything, the houses, the lands. They depended on God. They didn't work. They ministered the word of God. They were seeking that kingdom. But wait a minute. Would it be right for you to do that today? Turn with me and look in 2 Thessalonians. And I'm going to let you go. I think you're getting a general idea. Look in 2 Thessalonians. Notice what he said in verse 6 in chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition. And that word tradition is translated doctrine, which ye have received of us. Okay? If a man, he might be religious, and if he following Paul, he's walking disorderly. He's not in order. He's not in the right step. You can't follow the Lord Jesus Christ without following the apostle that God gave you to follow. And that's Paul. Look down in verse 10 now. For even when we were with you, this we commanded, it's a commandment, commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Now, buddy, that's a good welfare system there, isn't it? And I realize there are people that need help. Not talking about that. Paul covers that. We're to work with our hands that we might give to those that are in need. Sure, those people that need it. But God Almighty's program is, if you're going to eat, you're to work. Look in Timothy, notice in 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than infidel. God never told you to sit on your hunker somewhere and wait till the ravens come and feed you. God never told you not to work. He said for you to work. God never told you to have faith. He'd supply all your needs without you doing anything. He told you to provide for your own. God gives you the health to go out and He gives you the knowledge to go out and do a job, and you get paid for that job. That's working in line with what the Lord tells you to do in the dispensation of grace. But back here, they was not the work. They was to depend on the Lord, and they were to sold their lands and the houses. Why? They expected the king to come back. And they weren't going to need it. The mystery today has to do with you Gentiles and a body. And next week, I want you to see that body. I want you to see what He's doing. Folks, you know, people say, well, I follow Jesus. Well, before we go, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I was just reading here about the same thing there as you wrote in Luke in Matthew chapter 6 about the fowls and sowing and everything. But look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Look back in chapter 11. In chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, as I also am of Christ. Turn to chapter 4. In chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Notice what he says there in verse 15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. You know how you follow the Lord today in the dispensation of grace, which is the mystery? You follow the one that God gave the mystery to and wrote 13 books for the faith which is the doctrine for the body of Christ. God gave that doctrine to the Apostle Paul, and you can't follow the God of that Bible without following the apostle of the Gentiles and to whom he revealed the whole thing to. The mystery. Now next week, that mystery is a body. And those Gentiles in that he's dealing with is like you and me. And we'll get into that next week. Okay, shake hands with one another and hope you got something out of it.